The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2019 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2019. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it very much. To begin, let me focus on where we were. So my wife and I, you know, we have kids. What do? We knew we wanted them in a church school. Well, we go to a church. Our church has a school. Logical fit. Well, the school, I don't want to talk out of turn, but the school is very academically inclined, very missional, all are welcome, and also everybody else is doing Common Core. So by third grade, my daughter, who is now headed into eighth grade, learned all sorts of choice words as mom tried to help her with her math homework. I have actually a picture. I put this on the internet back at the day. It went viral. This picture has been seen probably by about 10 million people worldwide now since I put it up. You can subtract two numbers by counting up from the smaller number to the larger number. Subtracting this way is called the counting up method, and proceeded to have an entire homework section on how you subtract by adding. Subtract 38 from 325 by counting up. Write the smaller number 38 and count up to 325. Circle each number you count up. So 38 plus 2, count up to the nearest 10, you get to 40. Count up to the nearest 100 with 60, so you get to 100. Count up to the largest possible 100, so you get to 200. So that'll get you to 300. Count up to the next largest number, which gets you 325, so 325. Then add the numbers you circled, 2 plus 60 plus 200 plus 25 equals 287. Guess what? You counted up to 287. Therefore, 325 minus 38 equals 287. And you weren't allowed to just subtract. You had to do this. Also, is everybody here know cross multiplication? 38 over 100 equals X over 300. You cross multiply. You're not allowed to do that. That's called granny math. See, they insult your grandmother to convince you that your math is outdated. Now, to quote Mr. Incredible from The Incredibles 2, math is math. How do you change math? Well, they changed math. And we realized we were no longer able to help our child with math. All my wife was doing was helping my daughter adapt to being in the Navy one day with her language. It became deeply frustrating. And I talked about this on radio one night. So I do radio here in Atlanta during drive time, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. It was 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. until January. It's a huge audience, and I got a woman who called in, and she was crying before she got on the phone with me. And her kids go to public schools in Atlanta where they do the same math program. She has an accounting degree. She has no husband. She has three kids. And she works three jobs to keep her family together. She gets up before the sun comes up and goes to work. Her mother comes to get the kids to school. And in the evening when she comes home, she has a few hours. She wants to help her kids with their homework. That's how she as a mom continues to play a role in her child's life when she's working all day. And she couldn't, because she couldn't understand the math. And she called her school, and the school informed her that they would be glad to teach her how to do the new math if she wanted to come in the evenings with a group of parents who were also having this concern. And she works three jobs a day. She works 6 days a week. She doesn't have time to do that. And was so upset that this program that her kids were in, that schools had embraced, was essentially taking her away from being able to help her kids. They were relying more and more on the government and not her. She was deeply frustrated with it. And it was kind of a wake-up call to me that my kids, for example, AR, the books they were reading because they had to take tests. They weren't reading because they wanted to read. They were reading because you had to read so many books and take so many tests at the end of the year. You couldn't tell. And of course, to do that, they were choosing no books that challenged them, just books they could get through. And they were learning for tests. Even in a Christian private school, that the high great academic achievement, a blue ribbon school, but this is where we were. Now, on top of that, there was something else happening. I'll step back for a moment, and I do politics, and I am a conservative. I was actually an elected Republican for a while on a city council. Don't ever do that. Worst job ever. People actually complain in the grocery store when their trash isn't picked up to you. I just wanted bread. Their trash wasn't picked up. Well, so in 2016, I didn't support the president for his election. I'm a Christian evangelical. I thought character counted, and I didn't want to support him. He got mad at me, posted some not nice things about me on Twitter. It's all fine now. We talked the other day, as a matter of fact, but nonetheless. So he was very mad at me. We had protesters show up at our house. I actually had three people show up at our house to threaten us. We had to have armed guards at our house for 3 months. And while this was going on, I was just really stressed out, convinced I had allergies, and wound up being rushed into a cardiac ICU unit with so many blood clots in my lungs that literally the floor doctor in the ICU saw the scan and called in my room to see if the nurses had taken that body to the morgue yet. I was not expected to make it 24 hours. I mean literally, not like my kids say literally, but literally that day, as I was being wheeled into the ICU, the Mayo Clinic called my wife and informed her she had lung cancer. It was not exactly a fun day. My wife has a very rare incurable form of lung cancer, but thankfully there's a small pill she takes every day that keeps it at bay. For now, and so we're fine, but that led to me writing my book, Before You Wake, but it led to a series of traumas with our kids. If I did die today, what do I want my kids to know? And it was really a wake-up call for me that I wanted them to know a lot more than they were getting out of a Christian school that was so focused on worldly academics that it was leaving all the really important stuff behind. And it was also my wake-up call that I was leaving important stuff behind for my kids. And during all of this stuff with the president, we had people show up at our house. My kids were chased through a grocery store with a man yelling at them because he didn't like my politics. They would come home from school in tears, kids telling them they thought I was going to get shot. I'd already been in the hospital almost dead. Now they're coming home from school saying I was going to get shot. They both got bullied for my political opinions at a school where, you know, I'm surrounded by Christians and yet this was happening. And we finally decided it was time to make a change. And towards the spring break, after spring break, even though we had to bite the bullet and pay two tuitions, we wound up pulling our son out of school. He had missed close to 60 days of school. He was sick, and it turns out his sickness was just he didn't want to go to school. He was being bullied. He hated it. And now he cries when he misses school, which is just a complete turnaround. We moved our daughter after sixth grade. She had a full year in seventh grade. And guess what? My wife doesn't cuss doing math anymore because it's the math she's always done. It's been a profound change for us. Now, I do have to say we went to orientation at our school, Covenant Academy. I know some of you are here, so I'm there you go. I will say this, and we can embarrass myself for it, but we went to orientation, and I was like, wow, these people are really into this classical education stuff. We left and I got in the car and I looked at my wife and said, is that idol worship? I mean, you're really into it. You got the rhetoric school, you got the logic, we're going to do Latin. Oh, I remember my dad was a Latin teacher and then became an oil production worker in the Middle East. I grew up in Dubai. I know my Latin. It's like, I don't know. Well, we did it. And here's what we found. Our kids are happier than they have ever been in school. And we gave up a lot. The old school we went to was massive and had so many opportunities. My daughter is a brilliant artist. She's 13 now. When she was 9 years old, the thing she could do with just a lump of clay was just incredible. And we did step back to some degree and just the amount of art that she can do in school just because of some of the opportunities the other school had, so much more money and so many more opportunities. But what they gained was incredible. In addition to actually gaining friends and actually having a school where all the kids relatively well get along, it's kind of shocking. They're all committed to the cause, but it's not just them, it's the parents as well. And that's actually been the most eye-opening experience, because if you're going to a classical and Christian school, you're going by choice. You're actually making a conscious decision to separate yourself from what everyone else is doing. And I think that it's a mistake that the world should pay attention to, probably, that we just went back to what we all had and what our parents had. And it's these worldly schools that continue to adapt to these trends. And all the trends are doing, I've decided, is they're making my child learn how to be a good automaton for a Fortune 500 company as opposed to thinking for themselves. And so we're essentially, most schools are teaching kids how to be employees, and the classical schools are teaching kids how to be employers. It's a fascinating dichotomy that my child, first of all, I do have to say, for those of you over at Covenant who are cheering, if I hear the word fallacy from my 13-year-old one more time when I tell her to do something, it's not going to end well. She is extremely argumentative these days. She's respectful, but I mean, my kids, since they were little, I knew they were going to be lawyers, but my wife went to pick up our 10-year-old from school, and when she got there, the first words out of his mouth were, "You said you would be here at 10:30. It's 10:29. These are my kids. I do talk radio, so it should be expected. But they think for themselves, but they also have a greater depth and appreciation for their faith in a way they didn't at the church school. In the church school, they were learning a verse a week. I mean, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You could pretty much learn that in one day. There's your verse for the week. Now my 10-year-old, he's got to learn basically a chapter and a catechism question. I mean, I go to seminary and I'm not doing that. And he's learning it. My only regret for my now headed into eighth grader is that she didn't go through that. She got away with the verses for so long. I feel like we need to make her go back into now, it'll be fifth grade with him and do it all over again. She's not happy with the idea. But they're learning to be against trends and for God. And I think that's a wonderful thing. The thing I see doing, I spend a lot of time talking about culture on radio. And if I could correct society in one way, if I could be king for a day and stomp my foot and say no more, it is the regular embrace of trends that lead nowhere in education and in life. And we have classical education. The data shows it works. The kids are happy. The teachers are engaged. My kids come home. They love their teachers. They're friends with other kids. They want to actually... My 13-year-old daughter doesn't want to stay in her room and listen to Taylor Swift all day. Okay, she wants to do that. But she also wants to have friends now and come over. Completely different from what we were doing. She's actually engaged at a different level. She wants to go to youth group. My son wants to go to youth group in ways that they didn't want to go in the past because they're more engaged, they're more plugged in, and they're spending more time having to think about this stuff. It's one thing to hand them material and say, memorize this. It's a whole other thing to actually make them think about it and talk about it and engage with the material. The AR tests, they're not engaging with the material. They're just trying to get through the tests and rack up the points. And at Covenant, they're having to actually engage material. They're having to engage thoughtfully. And the parents are too. The school does not have the resources our old school had. I actually had to go on an overnight field trip to Atlanta here with my daughter. I actually drove a group of middle school girls by myself and gave up a day of work to do it. Took one for the team so my wife wouldn't have to. At the old school, they would have hired a bus and gotten a couple of teachers and paid for people to do it. The new school, the parents are hands-on and engaged. We're all volunteers. We're all in it together. It makes a real difference when you're in it together because you've got sweat equity in the school in a way that a massive school with lots of money doesn't have. You have to be engaged. You have to show up. My wife helps take care of a closet where kids who can't afford the uniforms or need new stuff or got their pants got torn at school can go in and get it. She volunteers and helps keep this clean. We didn't have to do that at the other place because you could pay someone to do it. It's amazing how when you have the funds to be able to do elaborate things, people stop caring and stop being engaged because you can offload the resource to someone else. Not offloading the resource is actually a wonderful thing that we do at this school. It's a shared commitment. It's based on common values that increasingly the world is hostile to. And let me leave with this just a brief meditation if I can. I actually, this past Sunday, I drove to Louisiana. I'm going to stop and lay this out so y'all can pray for my soul. Tomorrow is Father's Day. I told my wife for Father's Day, she and the kids, I have to go up to North Georgia today to give a speech after I'm done here, and then I'll drive back to Macon late tonight. I said, you should really go to Carrollton where her family is and be with your dad for Father's Day. And she says, well, you need to be with your kids for Father's Day. And I said, my Father's Day present is that I don't have to be with my kids for Father's Day. I'm just confessing my, now why? Because we've been in Louisiana. I drove my kids there and back in a week. We were so far out in rural Louisiana, there was no internet, there was no cell phone. I actually had to play with my kids. They loved it. I loved it. We fished. We went to all the places I grew up at, but the reason we went is because I was preaching this past Sunday. My dad was filling in for the pastor at the church I grew up in Louisiana. He did the Sunday sermon at 11. I did the evening service. And I preached on Jonah chapter 1. We all know the story of Jonah. What I wanted to focus on was Jonah is fleeing from God. He doesn't want to do what God told him to do. And what does Jonah do along the way? He leads a lot of people to God by running from God. Now we see with Nineveh, they repent, but they don't actually call on the actual personal name of God, Yahweh. They just, this God says something, we need to get in line like he said. But what about the sailors on the ship? Jonah, they're scared. They're scared of their circumstances. And they go to Jonah and they say, what are you doing here? Who are you? And he says, I fear the Lord. I worship the Lord. I fear the Lord with such a reverence that it causes me to worship him. So the sailors are scared of their circumstances. Jonah's not scared at all. He fears the Lord. He doesn't fear the circumstances. And by the end of chapter 1, what do you see? They've thrown Jonah overboard, and suddenly they fear the Lord. They're calling on Yahweh. They're not just calling God. They're not calling on random God. They're not calling on Hebrew God. They're calling on Yahweh. And in Jonah running from God, he's led these sailors to God. They've tossed their idols overboard in addition to Jonah. And they've now accepted the fear Jonah had, which wasn't a fear, I'm going to run away from God because he's scary, but it's Jonah had the fear of, I'm going to run away from God because I don't want these people to repent. I want to punish them. These people now embrace the God Jonah worshipped. And it's amazing what happens when you run away from God. God still uses you. He still glorifies you. That basically is a synopsis of my message, but that's my message here too. Because our children have embraced a way of life because the parents have wanted them to. And it is increasingly a values-based education that is completely contradictory to the world. And I want my children there because I want them to be a refuge from what's going on in the world right now. I want them in a safe place. The problem, frankly, with our old school is that they decided it was missional to throw open the doors and allow all comers, thinking, well, we'll witness to them. When what happened is all comers changed the school. The school didn't change them. And at this school, we had to be interviewed about our faith before our children could be given access to the school. And our children are now surrounded by people who share their values, so that in a wild and crazy world where our values are anathema to the world, our children are being surrounded with friends and those friends' families where they see, you know what, there are actually a lot of people who still do believe what we believe. And the entire world right now is structured to make people who believe as we believe feel like we're alone and nobody believes what we believe. Our views are crazy. No one should believe these things. And it's nice to have my kids in a safe harbor from the world where they can actually see that, you know what, these aren't crazy views. These are historic views. These are timeless views. These are the views that have led the world, and they're the views that will actually repair the ruins. Because the world, the secular world, is going to crumble. I mean, we can feel it all around us. We don't have to talk about it in direct terms, but we see what's going on all around us. And our kids are somewhere that we've made a conscious commitment to do. And frankly, my daughter, after 2 weeks of being at the new school, got in the car. She looked at me and she says, Dad, we have a problem. We've gone from being the super Christians to the pagans. All her friends go to youth group. She never went to youth group. Now, I grew up in Dubai. We didn't have youth group. It's not something I was accustomed to. It's where my wife made her lifelong friends. And now my kids they're participating more. And they're starting to realize that, you know, there actually are a lot of people who agree with us on these things. There are actually a lot of people who accept our values and embrace our values. And so my kids and the kids in your schools, they're going to go into the world. And some of them are going to be like Jonah. They're going to worship the Lord, but they're not going to want to do what he says. They're going to want to run away. And in the process, we can all be assured they're probably going to be glorifying him even despite themselves and lead other people to him. And they're going to be a light in the world when others are not. And to bring it full circle, you're going to have a bunch of kids one day in a major corporation trying to remember how to add to subtract. And the kids who have gone to classical schools are just going to know how to subtract. They're going to know right from wrong. They're going to know there is real truth. And they're even going to know what those fallacies are when other people are arguing. And the other kids, probably going to call them boss. That's just the way it is. And so if I could leave you with just a bit of encouragement, let me talk about my 10-year-old. My 13-year-old is, well, she's 13 now, so she talks a lot, and I wish she wouldn't. My 10-year-old, he would rather play on an iPad when he's home. But he missed, I mean, I'm not kidding you, more than 60 days of school because he just really got physically ill. He couldn't go, and we didn't realize the extent to which he was being bullied and was unhappy at the old school. He had a kid in his third grade class whose parents, at a Christian school, whose parents had taken the girl to see The Shining in the theater, and she loved it and was telling the kids this. And his teacher cried when we said we were pulling him out after spring break. It was sad, but we needed to do what was right for our son, who did not want to go to school and now cries because he has to go home from school. It's kind of offensive to me, actually. He doesn't want to come see. He'd rather be at school with his friends in chess camp. But it's also great. He loves Latin. He loves his teachers. His teachers love him. And he has friends who share his values. We thought we had that, and now we do. And so just my kids know that they're loved. They have a greater appreciation for the Lord, and they're more thoughtful now than they ever were. My son loves his iPad, and my son loves the Xbox. And we play the Xbox together. When I was going through all the stressful stuff, a friend of mine who I should keep him nameless, y'all would know him, but he sent me an Xbox and Call of Duty. And he said, I was going through such a rough time, just do what he does, go upstairs and kill people at night on the Xbox. It was actually rather cathartic. Won't let my son do that, but he does get on and he plays Minecraft. And my son, who loves the Xbox and loves his iPad and wants nothing more than to be in front of a screen, actually was found the other night by my wife reading, just because he wanted to read. He didn't have to study for an AR test. He didn't have to take an AR test. He's just developed this passion for books, the passion his mom has, the passion I had until I went to law school. And his sister does it too. And they wouldn't except for classical education. So thank you all for what you do. And just remember that there is timeless truth. We can't run from it. People may not like us because of it. And we are fostering our kids the lamp that will light the world when everybody else forgets how to subtract. Thank you.